Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And we lift your name on high. And Lord, we just want all the noise of this world to die out, so that we can hear your voice, so we can learn from your word, so we can glean all that we can, and that we might grow. Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, we adore you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Teach us today. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said?
Amen.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, hey, good to see that you want to tell Jesus yes this morning. That was awesome. All right, hey, got a couple of announcements. First of all, there is a youth worship meeting. I said it was last Sunday. I was wrong. It's today, after second service. Now, in your bulletins, it said in the youth room. No, it'll be actually in the sanctuary. So keep that in mind. If you want your youth involved in the worship team, in the youth worship team, please stay after the service. We also have a baptism. Now, I've had a few people ask me about the baptism, but they haven't signed up yet. If you're one of those people, you need to get signed up for the baptism September 26th, and the sign-up's in the fellowship hall. Also, we are looking to add a Saturday night service. First service was packed. This service is, we're almost full, so pretty close. So we're going to add a Saturday night service, and if you want to be involved, we have a list of positions that need people to fill it. So if you sign up, we'll get it going here pretty soon. By the way, this is important. Hear me in this, folks. If you like knowing what's going on at HBC, I want you to know this. Today is the last day that we're going to make announcements after worship. So if you want to know what's going on, the additional things that aren't in your bulletin, we're going to now do the announcements before worship. So you're going to want to be here before worship starts to catch the announcements. Some of them will be on video. Some of them will be live. But you're going to want to be here. By the way, why wouldn't you want to be here for every worship song to prepare your heart? So let me encourage you, get a little early, and then that way you can know what's going on. Now, one more thing. The ladies had a women's retreat. And yeah, woohoo! And they came back and they were blessed. Well, my wife put together a little video montage of some of the stuff that took place, and it's a pretty cool video. Watch, here you go. So there you go. She actually really did forget to press record. They had a drone and they did all this stuff. And then she goes, none of it recorded. So, all right. If you would please open your Bibles to Revelation 21, part 3, New Creation. If you need a Bible, the ushers would be more than happy to put one in your hands. Now, as we've been looking at this chapter, we see that there are 7 new things, because this is, we've entitled this section, The New Creation. 7 new things: new heaven, new earth, new lifestyle, new Jerusalem, new walls, and that's what we've seen so far. And then now we're looking at new foundation and new light. So as we look at this new foundation, we actually ended around verse 16, I think, 15 or 16, and then we're going to move on to a new light. So let me pray one more time, and then we'll dive in. Father, we just want to see your glory this morning in a new way. And Lord, only you can reveal it to us. So prepare each one of our hearts to receive this morning from your word all that we need to deal with this very, very, very dark world. Lord, we love you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at this new creation, and we've seen that Satan and sinners are all, at this point in time, they've been cast into the eternal lake of fire, sent from the great white throne judgment. And because of that, we have seen the vision of doom and the vision of the damned. But now, praise God, we are looking at the vision of God and his glory. We have a description here of the new capital city, beginning, by the way, in verse 9. And then it continues all the way into the next chapter, into verse 5. Now, there isn't any way to embellish on this. In fact, we could get a pretty full picture of heaven, of this new heaven earth, of the new Jerusalem, of the bride, if you will, simply by reading it. However, there are quite a few things that we can muse upon, that we can expand upon in order to enrich our vision and our scope of this glorious truth, as you will see this morning. But instead of starting in verse 1, I want to start in verse 9, because that's building all this new creation, this new Jerusalem. So I'm just going to read through some of this rather quickly until we get to the verse where we left off. Verse 9. Then one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls filled with the 7 last plagues. Now remember, he recognizes one of the angels that had the 7 vials. Something distinctive about this angel and a myriad of angels and a myriad of hosts of heaven. Obviously, these angels look slightly different. So he says, and one of the 7 angels, the 7 bowls filled with the 7 plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. Now, a couple of things real quick. He takes him to a high mountain. Why? Well, first of all, we're going to see, and you've seen if you were here before, how big this new Jerusalem is. So seeing it from the ground is one thing, to have more of a perspective of the scope. You know, when I was living in Houston, someone had shown me a video that someone had videotaped from like the 20th floor of one of the skyscrapers there in downtown Houston, where a tornado had passed through there. And I'll tell you, seeing a tornado footage from the ground is one thing, but seeing a tornado from 20 stories up, looking across and down, that was probably the most spectacular tornado video I've ever seen. So here, the angel takes him up on a mountain to see this thing coming down. Wow. But also it said, he said, wait, I'm going to show you the Lamb's wife. And then he says, the great city. Once again, I mentioned this to you last week. Just like HBC, this building houses the church. We call, hey, I'm going to church and you come here, but you are the church. So here, The holy Jerusalem is called the bride of Christ because of who inhabits the city. Just like HBC is called the church because of who inhabits the building. Not the building. The building is just a facade. We are the church. So He says, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Pretty spectacular. And then we see the new foundation in 14 through 21. Heaven is where believers will go. If you're a believer, that's where we will go. The common question that people ask, and you probably have people ask you this too if you're a believer. Hey, is there really an afterlife? You better bet your life there is. Not only is there an afterlife, it's more alive than the life we have now. I ran across this story, and I'll share it with you. There were three highly decorated police officers. Unfortunately, they died in the line of duty in a shootout. They go to heaven, and God greets each one of these officers, and he asks them, he says, hey, when you are laid in your casket and your fellow officers and family are mourning you, what would you like to hear them say about you? What an interesting question. You ever thought what people would say about you when you're laying in a casket? Of course, we won't know, but so one of the first believer, I would like to hear them say that I was the bravest police officer on the force. I was like, wow, that'd be kind of cool to hear, right? The second police officer said, I would like to hear that I was a terrific cop and that I died bravely in the line of duty, okay? The third officer, he said, I would like them to say, look, he's moving. Listen, none of us want to, we don't like grasping the idea of passing away, but here's the thing. If you are a believer, man, oh man, will you be moving. You'll be able to move at the speed of thought. We will be serving God. We'll be ruling and reigning with Christ. You know, people ask me all the time, hey, Pastor Randy, what are we going to do in heaven? I don't know. I've never been there. Why? I'm not an expert on heaven. I know what you know. What I do know from the scripture is that God likes servitude. He has the angels serving him. And guess what? When we get to heaven, we will be serving as well. And we're gonna explore that a little bit here. Verse 14. Now, the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the land. Now, I told you last time we were together, this city is a dwelling place for those who have received and those who believe in the gospel. Of course, we know this from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Did you hear that? Hang that on your belt. We'll need that for later. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into the holy temple of the Lord. Now, I explained to you last week that notice there's 12 apostles, not 1,200, not 12,000. There are 12. And yet today, a bunch of people calling themselves apostles, they're not. There's only 12, the original 12. Now, the city's foundation, there are 12, but the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate foundation. And of course, we know that the 12 apostles went out sharing Christ, sharing that foundation, and thus they are part of the foundation of the church. Verse 15. And he who talked with me, remember that's the angel, with the one who had the seven bowls with the seven plagues. And he who talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, its gates, its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as his breadth. Now, this measuring stick, it's important that we know this. It's to help John to have perspective, and it's to help us have perspective on just, he sees that it's immense, but there has to be some kind of measurement. And of course, God is also doing that for our benefit, as we'll explore here a little bit. But it also speaks of God always having a standard in which to measure things by. a standard for evaluation and judgment. By the way, you and I are not the standard. Jesus Christ is a standard. And everything in the new city measures up to exactly what the Lord requires. And he, let's continue. And he measured the city with the reed. 12,000 furlongs, its length and breadth and height are equal. So, once again, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide. So it's perfectly, a perfect square. Once again, I told you from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico, to the Atlantic Ocean to Colorado, our atmosphere, 600 miles up. This city will extend 900 miles above our atmosphere. So it extends all the way into space, about the size of the moon. I told you how Henry Morris basically calculated roughly, maybe even generously, 20 million people being saved over history. And then he calculated out the size, and he said then basically what each one of us would have is a 75-acre home. 75 acres one way, 75 acres another way. Pretty big. Pretty big place. So it's perfectly clear. It's quiet. It's a perfect square. Now, some people try to say that perhaps the square is on a point and then it comes out this way. But that didn't line up with Scripture, because we understand that it's the holy place in the tabernacle and the holy place in the temple were representations of this, because they are perfectly square. One was 15 by 15, and then in Solomon's temple, it was 30 by 30. He's always got it. He's everything grandiose. That's a whole nother story. Verse 17, now we are to new territory. I just wanted to get us up to speed. We'll slow down a little bit here. Then he measured its wall 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. Now, this is very, I pray you caught that. Some people will say, well, you know, when they give these measurements, those are human, but who knows what angelic measurements are? Well, according to this right here, human measurement and angelic measurements are the same. So on earth, an inch is an inch. In heaven, an inch is an inch. On earth, a foot is a foot. In heaven, a foot is a foot. Why? I'll tell you why. Mathematics belongs to God. Science is based off mathematics, and as they look at the genome, as they look at DNA, as they look at all these different stars, everything is based on mathematics. And as you look at Scripture, you find that God is very much into numerology, into numbers. And so the numbers on earth are the same as the numbers in heaven. Now, how that works exactly when we get to time, I don't know. We'll find out. I just know there's no time in heaven, and I'm running out of time if I don't move on. Okay, so you go, okay, there's differing views on this wall concept. Some people think that this 144 cubits, which, by the way, would equal 216 feet. Some try to say, well, there's this wall that's pretty big, 216 feet, but that's not very big. Not when you have the side of the building, the New Jerusalem, when it's 1,500 miles, that would be like a string around it. That would be like the moon. If the moon had a 216-foot wall, it'd look like a pinstripe on a pig. You know, it's just like not much anything. But what I believe, and some commentators believe, and I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, but I believe this is the thickness of the walls that are 1,500 miles high. It's telling us that, hey, not only 1,500 miles high, but they're 216 feet thick. That's going to be important in a moment. Why? Look at verse 18. The construction of its wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. Jasper is basically a diamond. So these walls, the city is one giant square diamond, 1,500 miles high, 216 feet thick. How would you like that for an engagement, ladies? That's basically what it is, right? We are the bride of Christ. That's God's engagement ring to his bride. But notice it says also here, the city was pure gold like clear glass. And, you know, people often have this concept that the streets of heaven are paved with gold. Well, not exactly. Why? Because it says it was pure gold, but like clear glass. I've never seen, anybody here have a bar of gold that's transparent? I didn't think so. How about a gold coin? Some people try to say that if you take pure gold and you hammer it down super thin, that it becomes translucent. I've never seen that. This is 216 feet thick. So I don't know. This is obviously something different. And we'll look at that here. Watch. Verse 19. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation, now notice we're going to see 12 stones here. Hang that on your belt. Important. The first foundation is jasper. That's basically diamond-like. The second is sapphire. That's like a deep blue. The third is chalcedony, which is like an aqua. The fourth is emerald, which is a bright green. The fifth is sardonyx, which is a pinkish red. The sixth is sardis, which is a blood red, like a ruby. The seventh is chrysolite, not crystal light. That's a soft drink. But this chrysolite is light greenish or with a blue tint to it. The eighth is a beryl, which is like a bright yellow. The ninth is topaz, which is a reddish gold. The tenth is chrysoprase, which is a blue-green yellowish. Now, by the way, I had to look this up because I'm colorblind. So as I'm describing this, I have no idea what that means. Some of these, I'm just like, okay. So you can argue with me all you want. I just looked them up. I just did some research. So I can't verify these because I can't see color. How about that? The 11th is jacinth, which is violet or purple. And the 12th is amethyst, which is purple. Now, why are we told this? Well, first of all, 8 of these stones can be verified to being found in the breastplate of the priest in the Old Testament. 4 of them, we can't. Why? Well, here's the thing. Over time, the names of these gems change. In fact, some of your translation may even have different names than what I have. But I believe that all 12 are from the breastplate of the priest. They just have different names. I want you to hang that on your belt. We're going to explore that a little bit later. But here's the concept. The colors, all these different colors are the foundations. It's brilliant. The colors have to be incredible. We know this. There are 3 primary colors, right? Yellow, blue, and red. And from those 3 colors, we make all the different colors that you know. The human eye, we can see 10 million different colors. Well, you can. Lucky you. But we get all 10 million variants from the same 3 primary colors. What if God, when we get to heaven, what if all he'd have to do is introduce one more primary color that we have never seen, and we could be looking at billions, if not trillions, of new colors that we've never seen? And you go, whoa, wait, I can't even grasp that. Well, imagine this. Imagine trying to describe red to a person who was blind, born blind. Describe red. You can't. So when we go, well, how can there be another primary color? Well, I don't know. But there could be. God can do anything he wants to do. And so here, John is describing what he sees. But you know what I liken it to? You ever try to describe to someone, you're trying to introduce them to Christ, and you're trying to describe to them what it was like for you to meet Jesus, and they just look at you like they're blind because they are spiritually blind? Well, it reminded me of a movie. I'm not big into chick flicks. I'm an action movie guy, but there's a chick flick I like. It's called Kate and Leopold. Now, there's a scene in this movie where this guy is put in an insane asylum because we know from the movie that he found a crack in time, but nobody believes him, so they put him in an asylum. It kind of reminded me of how when people look at me like I'm nuts, when I tell them that I have met Jesus Christ and he speaks to my heart, they're like, yeah, sure he does, woohoo. Well, watch this video and see if you see what I see in regards to when we're trying. Because once in a while, someone will believe us and they get saved. Watch this.
I know. It sounds crazy. Talking about finding a crack in time up at the East River. But in point of fact, Gretchen, you know, it is no more crazy than a dog finding a rainbow. Dogs are colorblind, Gretchen. They don't see color.
Really?
Just like we can't see time. We can feel it. Oh. We can feel it passing, but we can't see it. It's just a blur. It's like we're riding in a supersonic train. And the world is just blowing by. But imagine if we could stop that train, Gretchen. Huh? Imagine if we could stop that train, get out, look around and see time for what it really is. A universe, a world, a thing as unimaginable as color to a dog. And as real and tangible as that chair you're sitting in. Now, if we could see it like that, I mean, really look at it, then maybe we could see the flaws as well as the form. And that's it. It's that simple. That's all I discovered. I'm just a guy who saw a crack in a chair that no one else could see. I'm that dog who saw a rainbow. Only none of the other dogs believe me.
Isn't that great? Listen, have you seen the rainbow? The rainbow represents God's, doesn't represent gay pride. They stole that. The Bible makes it very clear. The rainbow is God's promise. Have you seen God's promise? His promise is that he loves you. His promise is that there's heaven waiting for us. His promise is that there's a diamond city waiting for us. Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But for we who are being saved, no, it is the very power of God. As the scripture said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent, so that where does that this leave the philosopher, the scholar, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of the world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. Listen, we've just seen the rainbow where other people's can't see it. We see that time is, that our God is outside of time. Time is just a constraint for us. We go beyond that. When you become a new creature, time is not of the essence anymore. Salvation is. And so, here's this new creation. The question that I have to pose to you is, are you going to see it? Do you see it? Do you realize? Have you experienced God in a level that you would be willing, if someone were to put you in an insane asylum, because you don't care, what you know is what you know, and the truth is truth, and you cannot deny it. Are you a new creation? Because if you are, you will see the new heaven and new earth. Now, moving on, remember I told you to hang on your belt, verse 12. And she also had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gate and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And remember I said that I believed all 12 of the stones in the breastplate of the priests were represented here by the stones of the New Jerusalem, of the bride. Because back in Exodus 28, verse 17 through 21, it tells us that each one of the stones represented each one of the tribes of Israel. And here we're told that the names on the of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel are written on the gates. So I believe that the colors represent the gates and the foundations, and it's all, it just all comes together and makes one beautiful vision of God's promise. Now, by the way, Ezekiel 28, verse 13, tells us that Satan had 10 of the stones in his chest. The same colors that surround the throne of God that we saw very early in Revelation. Just another reason why Satan thought he was all that in a bag of chips, because he had all the colors in him. But you see, I see also some additional beautiful symbolism here. Why? The 12 gates are represented by the 12 tribes of the Old Testament, but the 12 foundations are represented by the 12 apostles. What we see is the Old Testament and New Testament locking together. And you know what breaks my heart? Is there are churches, there's a movement right now in the churches to say the Old Testament is irrelevant, especially to this new generation. God here is saying, you're wrong. The Old Testament is important. The New Testament, they interlock and they all point to Jesus. Some of these churches say, well, we don't want to embrace that because then we have to try and explain a six-day creation. And so what some Christians go do is say, well, maybe God used evolution for his creation. You're out of here, bro. That's wrong. God made it in 6 days. Well, how could he do? He's God, okay? Why don't we have to explain everything he does? But then they have the problem with, well, oh, how are you going to explain a talking snake, talking serpent? How are you going to explain a man being swallowed in a fish? How are you going to explain a talking donkey? How are you going to explain the sun standing still? Listen, I'll tell you. The God who created it all can do whatever he wants. Now get over it and let's get back to worshiping Jesus. But we can talk if you want to meet me in my office. I'd love to debate. It's fun. So I believe all 12 stones are represented by the 12, just the names of the stones have changed. I'm not going to be dogmatic about that, but I just see a pattern in the things that God does. He has a consistency. Verse 21. Look at this. This is awesome. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the streets of the city were pure gold like transparent glass. There's that. The streets of the city are gold. It's pavement. But look at this, the pearls. How fitting. These, by the way, these gates, these doorways are 1,500 miles high. Why? So you can go into any level you want. You can go in anywhere you want. Now, that's a big pearl. If it's 1,500 miles high, approximately, and 216 feet thick, that's a big... I'd hate to see those oysters. My thought is, are these pearl doors propped open, or do we just pass through? Kind of interesting, I don't know. Either way, what a glorious sight. Giant diamond laced with 12 giant pearls. Ladies... Now, think about a pearl. Kind of special. Why? Because the form, and it's not, their form is natural. It's not crafted by human hands like precious gems are. You ever see a raw diamond? Doesn't look like much. But put it in the hands of a jeweler, wow. But how are they formed? How's a, well, a speck of sand gets in the inside the trap of an oyster, and it's an irritant. It's abrasive. And so the oyster secretes, offers a secretion, and that becomes crystallized, and that forms into a beautiful pearl. Now, how beautiful. We enter salvation through the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, not crafted by men's hands. Oftentimes we have the irritation of persecution. And by the way, let's say for one moment that we would be persecuted to death. When we get to heaven, even that death, we're going to go, boy, wasn't that an irritation? It's not going to be as serious as what it looks like from this side. Who's going to realize that whatever persecution we receive, that's a stepping stone to glory. But... this pearl, any pearl, is the answer of the oyster to what is injuring it, to what is irritating it. The New Jerusalem is Christ's answer to those who injured him, who crucified the beloved of heaven, who put him in open shame. And we will forever remember it as we enter and exit through those pearly gates. That it was through irritation. Our access came through the cross of Christ on Calvary. There is no other way. He is the door. Heaven is entered through the suffering of our wounded Redeemer. And we will remember forever by those pearls that it was no easy task. But the question is, once again, are you a new creation? Will you see those doors? Will you be willing to suffer irritation, persecution, if need be? Or will you crumble because you have not met the living, loving God? You don't see his promises as being promises. Let's look at the new light in verse 22 through 27. But I saw no temple in it. Oh, this is good. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. How cool is that? Now, I have to make a point here. What's that? Temple. Once again, I've got to drive this home. Hear me, folks. The concept of a temple is God's idea. In the Old Testament, he told the Israelites, build a tabernacle so that you can meet. So that you can meet with me, so you can worship. That's a form of worship. Then the temple was built. In the meantime, Jews took it to another degree, and they built synagogues. All of that is God's idea. This church is God's idea. It's not mine. It's his. So when people say, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't, but you will if you are. Why? Because God ordained it. Until we get to heaven, we won't need a temple. Why? Because we're all going to be living in our little cubicle. But it ain't little. 75 acres. You're gonna have a big house. But we're all gonna live together. By the way, notice that everything's transparent. People go, well, what about privacy? You won't need privacy. There's no sin, there's nothing to be ashamed of. By the way, when Frank Sinatra sings, I wanna wake up in the city that doesn't sleep, he's wrong. New York does sleep. Heaven, we won't sleep. We won't need sleep. We'll be glorified. Dun, 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 dun. It's going to be awesome. I have a feeling we won't need a potty either. Because if we did, there wouldn't be transparent walls. Anyways, let's not go there. Verse 23. Just a thought. Run with that. Verse 23. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated the Lamb is its light. No, 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 hold on. Did you catch that? God, the glory of God will illuminate it. The Lamb is its light. You know what that tells me? The Lamb, who's the Lamb? Jesus. The Lamb is God. This is not a contradiction. The glory of God illuminates it. The Lamb is its light. No, the Lamb is God. That's what it's saying here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. None. Now, the city. It's a giant diamond with strips of pearl. Right? I'm not a diamond expert. I have shopped for a diamond. But I understand this, the more clear a diamond is, the more expensive it is. And when a diamond is perfectly clear, it's perfectly ridiculous. all milky, I'll take that one. But when it reaches the point where it has no blemish, no spot, there is nothing but exceptional, flawless, perfect, crystal clear diamond, it has light refractions in it that will blow your mind. Spectacular. It's called the perfect gem. The phrase here is crystal clear jasper. It's a God gem. It's a God diamond. It is flawless. But when you go to shop for a diamond, what do? They take the diamond, they put it on black cloth, and they shine light on it. This diamond doesn't have light shining on it. It has light coming from it. The light coming from inside of it is the most incredible, blinding glory of God that you can't even imagine. Refracting rainbow colors all throughout the universe into heaven and upon the new earth. It's going to be spectacular. You have no idea. A 1,500-mile diamond with God's glory in the middle of it? Wow. See, the general picture that he's giving here is one of just unbelievable, indescribable beauty with the spectrum of blazing color, perhaps even colors we've never even experienced. And it's going to shine throughout all of creation, new creation. It gets better, if you can even imagine. Watch this. For the glory of God illuminates it, and the Lamb... Well, hang on a second. I have to cover something else here. Thank you, Lord. For the glory of God illuminates it, the Lamb is its light. Now, God will illuminate it. He may still be so magnificent that his son has to stand in and reflect the light off of him. We don't know. Everything, you notice, everything in this creation is created to reflect God's light. Even in our creation today, the moon reflects light. The earth, we are to reflect light. Moses saw the afterglow. And then what did he? The light of God. Look at the brightness, Christ's brightness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, watch this. This is awesome. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his cup. Just his brightness blows Satan away. Just his brightness. Now, we're dwelling. Okay, so you got God's glory in the middle of this diamond. But now, let's say there's 20 million Christians, like we were told, approximately. Can you imagine? Now there's 20 million stars moving around. And what do you mean stars? Well, Matthew 13:43 says this. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We, in our glorified bodies, we are going to be bright little lights. And no longer will be this little light of mine. We'll be like blazing. I'll be like, whoa, bro, calm it down. I want to talk to you. I can't look you in the eye. So we're gonna be bright, but I believe we'll just be reflecting his light, but our glorified bodies are going to have the ability to reflect on a new level. He reveal his glory, but there's a sad concept to this revealing his glory. What's that? God, over time, has revealed his glory many times, and it seems like every time he revealed his glory, it was still rejected. It was. God revealed his glory, his Shekinah glory, and still the Israelites rejected it. And every time they would reject, it was with disobedience, pride, and rebellion. But God would continually bring his glory back. He brought the Shekinah glory, and Israel rebelled. The Lord Jesus Christ, he transfigured himself. And Peter said, man, he is brighter than the sun. And yet, Peter denied Jesus three times after seeing his glory. Jesus' glory, God's glory, came to Israel in the form of a human. And the Bible says, we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Son, but the world hated him and rejected him. They rejected his glory again. They rejected the Father's glory every time. They rejected Jesus Christ's glory, even his own disciples, Judas, Peter. They all scrambled. They all scrammed. And then someday, Jesus Christ is going to return. We saw this in Revelation. In his glory and us with him on our horses. And all of the world is going to turn their guns. They're going to reject his glory even up till the book of Revelation. Oh, but finally, the new heaven, new earth, new capital city, new Jerusalem, new holy city, his glorious light will be revealed, limitless and unconfined, and we won't reject it. Instead, we will bask in it. We will praise and glory in his name. We will even reflect his glory. It's going to be awesome. No more rejection of his glory. In fact, we will totally embrace it. It's going to be amazing. If you have surrendered and become a new creature in Christ. Verse 24. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. There we are. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor to it. Whoa. Who are these kings? Kings of the earth? Who are you wondering who they are? Well, Revelation 5:10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Dun dun dun. It's like kings and queens. That's what we're gonna be. We are gonna now here's the thing. What does that mean? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, if we endure, we shall reign with him. Perhaps, we're not told, but we're going to reign. We're going to be kings and priests with him, for him. And here, the millennial reign is done, and he's still calling for kings of the... Perhaps he's going to start a new civilization on this new earth. It's very possible. We can't limit God. He can do whatever he wants. Verse 26. And they shall bring glory and honor of the nations into it. See, that's why I think that. Bring glory and honor of the nations. Now, that could be of the nations that we're from. You know, all of us will be from, you know, the nation of Bullhead. Yeah, we're Bullhead. Or we will reign over the new earth and a new populace of some kind of... Listen, one commentator said this. He said, there is no real proof that man is the first order of God that God created upon the earth. Now, what I think he's referring to there is perhaps he created angels first. That's quite possible. You know, I think that. And here's a question. Who here has ever met an angel or spent some time with an angel? And don't say you've gone to lunch with me. That doesn't count. No, I'm talking about an angelic angel. Have you ever seen? Listen, who knows what they're going to look like? What kind of creation God may make in the new heaven, new earth? Who knows? God has a lot of secrets. Secrets he hasn't told us yet. In fact, as we look through the Bible, through history, people have been discovering the mysteries of God over time, truths that have not been revealed. Like, for instance, the concept of a church was not even known in the Old Testament. That only came about with the cross of Christ, and we become the church age. The church, even the church is a mystery in Ephesians 5. Paul's like, hey, husbands, love your wives, you're as Christ loved the church. And then later he says, hey, I'm not talking about husbands and wives. I'm talking about Christ and the church. It's a mystery. And we're like, what? It's mind-blowing. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, that he has hid these things from the Old Testament prophets, but now he has revealed them to us. Listen, we know things that the Old Testament prophets don't know, like Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel. We know things from what they wrote that they were like, I don't know what I'm writing. This is interesting. I have no idea what it means. So what will the new heaven and new earth reveal about our God? I don't know, but we're going to be kings and priests, and we're going to reign over something. People ask me, hey, what do we do? Well, here you go. We're going to be kings and priests. How about that? We don't know. But what we know is whatever he creates this time is going to be perfect, without sin, without pain, and without death. He already done did that. It served its purpose. Verse 25. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. So no day. It's all day. It's day all the time. No need for sleep. No need for doors and privacy. We're going to be just, our bodies, we're going to be, you know, right now we are blood driven. That's why you do blood drives. In heaven, we're going to be spirit driven, spirit drive. That's why Jesus said, hey, I don't have any blood. It's like, we don't need blood in heaven. We won't need sleep either. Verse 26. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles. Oh, I love that. Nothing that defiles or causes abomination. Oh, here you go. Or a lie. No more lies. No more, sure, Grandma, I love that sweater. No more lies. Man, how great will that be? But only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, don't close your heart. Don't close. We're not done. I got a little more to share with you. All that beauty and all that splendor. Isaiah 65, verse 17 and 19 says this. For behold, I create a new heaven and new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, the joy of my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Remember this, that he stooped down where we are so that we could be where he is. For now, we are waiting. We are waiting for heaven, where our Father is, where our Savior is, where our dwelling is, where our names are written, where our brothers and sisters will be, where our affections are, where our hearts are, where our treasure are, where our inheritance dwells. But the real question, will you see it? Do you see it? Have your eyes been opened? Do you see the rainbow of his beauty? Have you seen the cross of Christ? Have you seen the blood of the Lamb? There is no other way to heaven. He is the door. And if you have not dealt and repented of your sins in order to love him more clearly, listen, there are no hoops to jump through, but you must live for him. Not because you have to, because you want to. Because you've seen the truth. You know the truth. You can't help but love the truth. But here's the sad part, folks. There may be some in here that say, I don't believe it. Stick all these people in an insane asylum. They're crazy. No, we're not crazy. We've just seen a rainbow. And it's beautiful. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for calling us to a new life, a life of repentance that comes easy when we're in love with you. It isn't a burden at all. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. And so, Lord, we just come humbled by your mercy, humbled by your sacrifice, humbled by your love, humbled by your call for us to dwell with you forever. Forever. No more weeping, no more crying, no more sins, no more lying. God, I pray for every person here that we would examine our hearts, and if someone needs to surrender their heart and surrender their sin and come into that washing flow of blood that washes away our sins once and for all, forever and ever, Lord, there's no magical prayer. There's only a surrendered heart. There's only a believing heart. There's only a repentant heart that will enter into that beautiful diamond, those pearly gates, those streets of transparent gold, and the joy of the living, loving God and our Savior. God, I love you. I don't deserve it, but I am so grateful that you've forgiven all the filth of my life. And I pray this morning, if there's anyone here who thinks that God can't forgive them, they are wrong. You are big enough to forgive any sinner. You forgave me, Lord. So may we be bold. May we stand boldly. May we be brave. And may we be proud to be counted as those who have seen and know Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, and the Savior and lover of our souls. And so, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, please come and pray with one of the deacons. The rest of us, let's stand and worship. And youth, we have a meeting in about 15 minutes. God bless.